Thanks be to God. Friends, before we get started, will you pray with me? Merciful God, we give you thanks once again for this day and for the opportunity and privilege to worship together. I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing to you, that our hearts would be open to the message that you have for all of us this morning. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So, last week was Easter, as we've revisited several times. You guys have passed the test again and again. Very good. I'm glad you remember. Resurrection Sunday was last week, but this is the second Sunday of Easter. Still celebrating that Jesus is alive and overcame the grave. We start a new sermon series this week called The Surprise, The Unexpected Acts of God, where we'll be walking together through the book of Acts to see the ways that God really looks at and cares for and guides the apostles in their ministry and mission once Jesus has ascended and returned to his rightful place on the throne. So I'm going to give us a little bit of context as we get started in the book of Acts, because we come into chapter 5. And while I could just drop us in there, I think it's going to help us have a greater appreciation if we know a little bit about what happened prior to where we come in. What happens in chapter 2 of Acts? Oh, I put y'all on the spot. I'm sorry. Pentecost. There you go. Thank you, Dr. Bruce. Thank you. Should have known you'd come in. Very good. So we're not quite ready in the life of the liturgical calendar to celebrate Pentecost, but we need to keep in mind that that has taken place. That's important. The people who followed Jesus when he was alive, who were those people as a group? It starts with a D. Disciples. That's why we're talking about it, because it's confusing, right? We've got the disciples in the Gospels, and now we're talking about the apostles, but it's the same people. What is happening? What is happening? So disciples are the ones who learn from the Christ about what it is that God has created them and called them to do. Think about it. As the disciples are traveling through life and ministry with Jesus, they are learning from him, right? They try to participate a few times, and bless their hearts, they kind of mess it up. But thankfully, as one of the twins pointed out earlier, my God, don't you love children? Don't you love that they know so much more than we do? It's fascinating. When Michael asked them, what gifts does Jesus give us? And one of them piped up without thinking twice, the Holy Spirit. What? Yes, absolutely. And it's because of the Holy Spirit that those were disciples can now be apostles. They've gone from learning about who God is, who God has created them and called them to be, to now they are going and doing the thing out in the world. They are now responsible and tasked with the power of the Holy Spirit going out and teaching about who Jesus was, how he lived, how he healed, how he empowered people, how he cared for people and welcomed them in. They are charged with going and unapologetically teaching and sharing that good news. So when we come into Acts, we come in after the ascension, which is where Jesus goes back and is seated at his rightful throne. We've talked about the shifts from disciples to apostles. Peter and John and the others are no longer in learning mode, although hopefully we're always learning in our faith, right? But they're the ones that have seen Jesus with their own eyes, heard Jesus with their own ears, and now they are being called to go out and teach people about who Jesus is, about his mission, and most importantly, in the context of the good news that they're sharing, that Jesus was raised from the dead by God. They're out there healing folks who need it. In chapter 3, Peter and John are out and about, and we see them heal a crippled man. And while you would think that this would warrant some applause, some good for you guys for helping somebody who needed it, not quite the response they got, because they weren't doing it with the authority of the legal experts or the Pharisees or the big guys in charge. They say very plainly after they offer and perform that healing that they do it in the name of who? Right. And I don't know if y'all forgotten since last Friday, but people didn't really like that guy that much. The ones in charge anyway. They didn't like what he stood for. They didn't like how he carried himself. They didn't like who he was hanging out with in the world. They didn't like who he was welcoming to the table. So when Peter and John and others who were disciples but are now apostles are coming in to these large gatherings of people and teaching about Jesus, not just teaching about him, but helping people experience the life-altering experience of welcoming Jesus into their hearts, the ways that Jesus' ministry and power continues to live on through them by the power of the Holy Spirit. People in Jewish authority are not happy about it. They are not rejoicing that they are doing these good things. But even so, the community of believers, the people who are following the apostles and learning from them, the new round of disciples, if you will, that number is growing and growing in the book of Acts. People are hearing this good news. They're witnessing Jesus' power still at work and alive and well. And they say, man, oh man, I want to be involved in all that. Tell me more, teach me more, show me more. And what's really great about this community of believers, not just that it's growing in number, right? Because we never want to focus on numbers alone when we're considering faithful community. That's not the important thing. We do hope that we'll grow and grow. But these folks are living in such a way that models who Jesus was and how Jesus lived. They're sharing their material wealth with one another. They are taking the surplus of what they have and offering it to the disciples the apostles, so that they can then redistribute those gifts to people who need it. Isn't that something? They're going through life and ministry and work all together, and they are putting all of themselves into the work, caring for and walking with one another faithfully. And because they're doing that, the apostles are gaining public support. Everywhere they go, whether they're in the temple, whether they're on the countryside, whether they're just walking the streets, people are listening, they're paying attention, they're joining the crowd, because this is such a radical idea. Jesus' way of being and existing in the world is not putting people against each other, distancing people from one another. It's how do we come together and live peacefully and care for each other and make sure the needs of our brothers and sisters and neighbors are met. And people are intrigued by this. No longer are people who are in need in any shape, way, or form being told, there's not room for you here. You're not wanted here because of who you are or what you've done or how much money you do or don't have. If you are sick or well, there is none of that. Peter and John and the apostles are going about the business of continuing to preach the good news that Jesus embodied in his life and also in his resurrection, in his ministry as a whole. You, all of us, all people everywhere are welcome to the table. You are wanted there. There is space for you. You're going to be cared for just as you are. So while public support is growing, those in the Jewish authority, people like legal experts, Pharisees, Sadducees, those folks, the ones who are pushing on the Roman Empire so hard to crucify Jesus, remember, some more context here. Remember, it's the Roman Empire who put Jesus to death. That was their way of killing people, criminals in particular. Pilate and Herod try to push back against the Jewish elite and say, we don't know what this guy's done. I don't think he's done anything. But because the Jewish leaders kept saying, no, he's done this, he's saying this, he's saying he's king of the Jews, this, that, and the other, they eventually give in to peer pressure. We know anything about peer pressure in here? Oh, the giggles tell me yes. Peer pressure, I think, sometimes is something we talk about like, you only experience it if you're a little kid. No, peer pressure is something that we experience all throughout our lives. And what's interesting about this is that Pilate and Herod gave in to peer pressure, right? They said, okay, y'all are pushing in too hard, coming in too hot. We're going to crucify this guy because I just don't want to deal with you anymore. I don't want to be on your bad side. But then when we come into the text this morning, we see Peter and the apostles up against some of the Jerusalem council who are very upset with how they're existing in the world, the notoriety that they're gaining, the message that they're sharing. And they tell them, in no uncertain terms, we told you, we demanded you to stop preaching and teaching and healing in the name of that man. And Peter's like, cool, cool, cool. But I'm going to keep doing it. I'm going to keep showing up in the places you tell me not to be in. I'm going to keep saying the words that you tell me not to say. I'm going to keep existing in a way that's faithful and in alignment with who God has called and created me to be, who the Holy Spirit has empowered me and my friends, the apostles, to be, because that's why we're here in this moment. We are not here to back down from the peer pressure. We are here to stand against it and say, how you're living, how you're treating people is not okay. It's not right. Let me instead tell you about the way of Jesus. Just before we come into the text, what has happened is that the apostles have actually been imprisoned. They've been put in a jail cell because the Jewish authorities were tired of them. We have tried to shut them up. They're not listening. We're going to throw them in a jail cell, which is all fine and cool until an angel comes and lets them out. Don't mess with God, y'all. Don't mess with God. Verse 19 says, an angel from the Lord opened the prison doors during the night and led them out. The angel told them, go take your place in the temple and tell the people everything about this new life. Tell the people everything about this new life. So the next morning, the chief priest, legal expert, everybody, they're feeling great, right? The apostles are caged up. It's all going to be fine. They're not out there causing trouble anymore. And then somebody goes and checks. And the guards are still chilling. You know, I see them. They're outside. They've got their arms crossed. They're like, yeah, we got this. It's fine. It's been a quiet night. And they open it up. Ain't nobody there. It's empty. And they are incensed, the legal experts, the Jewish authorities. And so somebody comes running in. Oh, my gosh, I just saw them. They're in the temple, and they're telling everybody everything, and they're still preaching in the name of that Jesus guy. And so they go and they gather Peter and the apostles back up. They're brought before the council, and the high priest confronts them, and he tells them once again, I told y'all to quit it. And Peter and the apostles replied, we must obey God rather than humans. We must obey God rather than humans. The God of our ancestors raised Jesus from the dead, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. God has exalted Jesus to his right side as leader and savior so that he could enable Israel to change its heart and life and to find forgiveness of sins. We are witnesses to such things as is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. Peter comes up against the people who want him to be quiet, who want him to listen to them and not to God. And Peter says, it ain't gonna happen. If you were not at our Maundy Thursday service, we did something a little bit different. We had a part of our worship and sermon time where we asked a couple of questions, and we got to hear from y'all your thoughts on things. I know this is different. I see you squirming in your seats. But remember, this is a safe space. Everybody participated really well. So I'm just going to ask, can you go there with me? Can you consider sharing an answer if God puts it on your heart? I'm going to need a nod, an amen, something. Thank you, Michael. Thank you, Travis. So my first question for us this morning is, what do you think Peter meant by we must obey God rather than humans? What did Peter mean by we must obey God rather than humans when he's talking to the Jerusalem council? What point is he trying to get across? God is in control. Thank you, Mr. Charlie. That's great. What else?
God's love.
God's love. I heard another one. God is king. Yes. What else? Absolutely, Mr. Frank. Got to keep preaching the word because God is telling them to do that. Absolutely. Because, question, friends, does God's word and the word of the people often look the same? Oh, my God. I'm going to need a little bit more enthusiastic of a response. Does God's word and the word of the people often look the same? No. Because the world tells us we should be doing and saying something while God is usually telling us the divine reversal, right? Don't let those people in, the world says. And God says, I've had a seat here for them from the beginning of eternity. Who do you think you are saying, no, you can't? We are called against all odds, against all peer pressures, if you will, to obey the word and the spirit of God and not that of people. Because people are human, right? No aliens in here, I don't think. We're all human, which means we all make mistakes. We're all flawed. We're all not going to see things absolutely clearly until Jesus comes back. And so until then, we've got to be patient with each other. We've got to make space for one another. We've got to try to hear one another out. And if we let the voices of the outside world, whether it's in politics or in our families that are at our work, our community settings that maybe are not the most life-giving, wherever it is, if we're prioritizing those voices over God's, what God is telling us about who God is and what God's up to and where God is calling you and me and all of us to participate in God's will being done on earth, then friends, we have missed the point. And I know y'all's hearts, and y'all are not here to miss the point. Amen? We are here to meet God where God meets us. My last question for us, see, there's only two. You did great with the first one, so I feel confident about this one, all right? You're doing great. The angel that released the apostles from prison opened the door and said to them, go and tell the people everything about this new life. Go and tell the people everything about this new life. Even when people push back against you, even when people think poorly of you or say ugly things about you for doing so, you are called to go and tell people everything about this new life. So my final question for us is, how will you tell people about the new life afforded to us in Christ? How will you tell them? Have a space for all persons, Betsy says. Absolutely.
Helping those that are in need.
Helping those that are in need, absolutely.
With strangers and friends,
definitely. What else?
Trust God through any fears.
Amen, Miss Sharon. Somebody else was speaking. I heard it. Just a smile goes a long way, doesn't it, Miss Faye? Absolutely. To listen to them, yes. Speak to or listen to understand and not to. Yeah, absolutely. Have compassion for the homeless, absolutely. What else? You guys are on a roll. I'm not going to stop you. To accept others through love, just as we have been accepted by Christ through love. Michael. Absolutely. Being a voice of peace. We need that more than most things, I think. Live the golden rule. Absolutely. Have compassion for those we disagree with. It's a hard one, but an important one. Absolutely. Yeah, it all goes back to that, doesn't it? Love your neighbor as yourself. Love God and love your neighbor.
Be like Jesus.
Be like Jesus. Yes, Dr. Choi, absolutely. That's the goal. That's the hope. Friends, first of all, proud of you for engaging in a conversation in a setting that made you a little uneasy at first. You did great. So we're going to do more of that moving forward. You have time to get over it till I reach again. I want each and every one of you, each and every one of us, to go from this place today knowing that whatever comes against what God has put on our hearts to do and be in this world, We have what we need to stand against that in faith because of the Holy Spirit that has been gifted to us. The apostles were probably really scared, even as they stood against these people that told them to be quiet and not show up in these spaces and not do these things in the name of Jesus. And yet, they did them anyway. And I believe that's what God is asking of us and calling us in a time such as this. Not 5 years from now, not even 2 weeks from now, but today. May we remember that we do not go this journey alone and that we have what we need to be who God has created and called us to be. In Jesus' name, I pray these things. Amen.